Well, this morning, we're going to continue in our worship through our message this morning. The title is, the series is, What the Dickens, with Charles Dickens. You saw Ebenezer Scrooge, he got a little bit softer this week. And maybe we'll see him get saved next week in the ghost of the spirit of Christmas future. I'm so glad that you guys are here this morning. My heart is just pounding with this message. And I said, Lord, what do I do with a message if we get snowed out? Who's going to listen? I said, how do I get online to preach this message? And I didn't have to, because the Lord knew, and here you are. And I believe God has a great word for you this morning. Are you ready for the word of God this morning? Oh, a couple, you're here, you're ready. Amen. Well, this morning I want to talk. I found something very interesting when we talk about the spirit of Christmas future. And I'm going to share out of my heart. God laid this on my heart about a week ago. I was online and I found something very interesting in Oak Park, Michigan, on the national news. And maybe you saw this. I was completely unaware of it. I've lived in Michigan longer than I've lived anywhere else in the country, even though I wasn't born or raised here. My wife and I have spent a total of 16 years in this area. And we absolutely love it. We love this community. We're so glad God has us here. And we love the people. They're just down to earth. I mean, real hardworking people. That's the one thing I find about Michigan. You know, when it comes down to it, you kind of grit your teeth and you make things happen. Well, it's interesting because 30 years before Oak Park existed, are you aware that 1,100 feet under Oak Park, what's there? In fact, I have a photograph of this I think we can bring up. Bev has this for us. But in Oak Park, Michigan, 30 years before the city existed, there's over 100 miles of road, 1,100 feet underground. 100 miles worth of road, 100 miles of road, 1,100 feet underground. Let me get that right. And there are trucks, and there are tractors, and there are jeeps, and there are all kinds of tools down there, and equipment that have never seen the light of day. And you know what it is? It's one of the largest salt mines in the world. I was unaware it was even there. They say in the article that I read, and then I did some research, and what they estimate underneath the city of Detroit, and expands out to Ohio and Pennsylvania, what they found is they estimate there's enough salt down there to last the salt demand for the human race for about 70 million years. Yeah, you got your wow. We talked about that last week. Get your wow back. You just did it. Wow. That's what I said. I said, wow. Because what really amazed me isn't that there's 100 miles of road down there. What's not that didn't amaze me was that there's 70 million years worth of salt. Whoever came up with that. That's not what amazed me. What amazed me was about 3 years ago, we had a very hard winter, and they ran out of salt for the salt trucks in Detroit, Michigan. That's what amazed me. That's amazing. And what's even more amazing is we don't have jobs here in Michigan. And if there's that much salt sitting there, then every auto worker and every person in Michigan ought to have a job, because we got more salt than the world can handle, and we ought to be the salt capital of the world. That amazes me, because here's the message this morning. We have the blessings of God right under our feet, and we don't take advantage of them. How many times that God is right there in the spirit of poor Ebenezer Scrooge, that he had the blessings of God right at his fingertips, and he didn't take advantage of them. And that's what the story is today. Think about this. The Spirit comes to show him the things that are right there, the dinners and the meals that he's missing, the wonderful warmth of families. How about this? What he's got in the bank and what he could be doing with it. Right there. And yet, he sleeps by a small candle and he hardly puts a new log on the fire because it might cost money. And right there, under his feet, 70 million years worth of salt. And I wonder, as Christians, according to the story, if we don't miss out. They're right under our feet are the blessings of God. You're experiencing that now. I've heard people say this, and it's spreading around. I mean, the news is out. The people are talking in the community. My son said to me, he was in a pizzeria last night picking up a pizza, and somebody was in there working at the pizza place and said something. Somehow they got talking about reverse Christmas. And so his ears perked up, and this guy starts saying, reverse Christmas. And he goes, yeah. He goes, reverse Christmas. He says, that's my church. He goes, yeah, that church does Judgment House. That church did the Blessing of the Bikes. That church does Cardboard Communities, Triple H, hungry, homeless people sleeping in the park to raise awareness and funds. That church, and everybody in the pizza place that's working stopped working, and they're listening to this guy talk about that church and all the things that God is doing. And they all said, where's that place at? And I thought, isn't that amazing? The word is going. Why? Because when the blessings of God are under your feet and you just simply mine it, God moves. How do we miss out? How do we miss out? And I don't know if there's problems with it, but if we've got that much salt there and it's underground, there's got to be a way to make it happen. Ebenezer Scrooge missed out on all those wonderful things that were going, and the Spirit tried to remind him, you're missing out. You're missing out on some great things. And it's Christmas present right now. What's in my life? You know, I could think about all the things I don't have in my life. I really could. Or I could forget. My son posted in Afghanistan yesterday as he was going to bed. And they're about 8.5 hours, or 9.5 hours now with time, our time difference change. They're 9.5 hours different than us. And he posted on his status, and I got to see it, and he said, good night, Never Never Land, which is a famous line from the movie Hook. A little boy screams that out as he blows out the candle, sleeping on that island of the Lost Boys. And he typed that in as a military police officer in Afghanistan. He wrote, good night, Never Never Land. And I typed back to him, good night, don't forget, Never Never Land makes you forget. That's the one thing about the whole story. It makes you forget. And I was just reminding him that he's loved today. I wanted him to know, don't forget where you came from, don't forget who you are, and don't forget what you have waiting when you come back home. We are going to have a reunion. We are going to have a party in the first part of March. We are going to celebrate when he comes home and we pick him up at the airport. There's going to be a party. Because I don't want him to forget he's got a family. He's got a house. He's got a warm bed. He's got a mama who's going to cry her eyes out and throw her arms around him. And we're going to love up on him. And a dad too. And I don't want him to forget the blessings that are his. Isn't it easy to forget the blessings and complain about what we don't have? Folks, this isn't a guilt thing. This is a blessing thing. What God has given you, what a blessing. I've never stood in a line for 8 hours to get something to eat. What a blessing. I've gone to my refrigerator and said, I wonder what I'll cook today. I'm so blessed. I've never had the heart of going home alone and not having anybody in my house but a quiet home. I don't know that heart. I can't relate to that. I've always had a wife. I've had a wife to come home to in the last 25 years. I've had these beautiful children. I've had a warm house. I don't know what that, and if they're not there to greet me, I've got a 100-pound horse named Bear that's a black Labrador retriever who, when I open up the screen door, jumps about 6-8 feet in the air and he just keeps going because he can't wait to see me. You see, I'm so blessed. And I know that you're blessed. There are things, if we think about them, there's that old song, count your blessings, name them one by one, count your many blessings, see what God has done. God has done so much. And I look at this story in the Bible today, and it's a wonderful text. And maybe you'll look at it a little bit different this Christmas season. I'm just going to take a couple of minutes because here it is. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Magi came to see him. Magi came to see Jesus. The question is, do you know what a magi is? What's a magi? magi? Well, I think it's a magician. No, they're not magicians. That's not who they are. In fact, I did quite a bit of research just to refresh my memory to make sure at least I had some idea. But a magi basically is someone, it kind of goes into Zoroastrianism. Zoroastrianism is a false religion, and they have their entire religion after a guy who was born named Zoroaster, who was actually thrust into the magi faith. Magi were wise men, as they were known. They studied stars. As they looked at the stars, they tried to figure out time frames according to the rotations of the planets and the earth and the stars and the solar system. And so they'd study them very closely. And these magi come and visit Jesus. Now here's the amazing thing of the story, just like the salt mines. They come from the east to find the Savior in the west. Where were the people where Jesus was born? And the people of God who were waiting for Jesus to be born. The text says this, and I'll tell you, if you want to underline this, this blows my mind. In verse 3 of chapter 2 in Matthew, it says, when King Herod, now understand, King Herod is just like King Solomon, King David. He's the king of the Jews. He's the one who is in charge of the entire religious faith of Judaism. When King Herod, look what it says, when King Herod heard, what did he hear? He heard that Jesus was going to be born. He was, what does the Bible say? He was disturbed. Yes, he was. And then what catches me, and I've never seen this before until this week, and I circled it in my Bible, and it says, and all Jerusalem. I always understood, well, Herod's disturbed. We know he's disturbed. Well, there's another king. Well, I'm king. Nobody's going to take my kingdom. Okay, he can be selfish. What I never caught before, it says, and all, not some, and all of Jerusalem was disturbed with him. Were they not waiting for a Savior? Absolutely. Why were they so disturbed? You know what? They missed it. Of all the things they didn't have, well, the Romans are occupying our territory. We're paying taxes to Caesar. We've got a mess on our hands. Christmas is just not the same. That was a joke. There's no Christmas yet. Okay, Christmas is not the same. Jesus is coming into the world. A Savior is there. And what are they doing? They're all disturbed over the news that a Savior has been born. I don't know about you, but when a pastor told me at the age of 19 that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, he came and he died for my sins and he rose from the dead and I could have forgiveness, I'll tell you what, I wasn't disturbed, I was elated. It changed my life forever. I was excited to hear about Jesus for the first time at the age of 19. They're disturbed to hear about him. So these magi, here it is, right under their feet, they've got the Savior, the source of life, and they're disturbed. And who finds him? Guys from the east. Now here's a magi. What's interesting is they would study the stars. Well, how did they know about Jesus? I want to give you about a 2-minute quick history lesson, and this will make sense to you. Here's what happened. How in the world would these guys who were from Persia, Babylonia, and these kind of regions that we know today as Baghdad, and other, in fact, the three wise men, their names, according to historians, and the reason we know this is because some of the early church fathers wrote about them. And when I say the early church fathers, by the first century A.D., Chrysostom had written about these guys and their names. So we've got some historical text, and it's believed to be, one of them's named Melchor, Caspar is the other one, and Belthasar is the other name of these three. Now, the reason we know that, because in certain regions, during historical writings in Persia and Babylonia, these guys actually are named and talked about. Very wealthy men. They could be kings, but more than likely, they're wise men who have high royal positions. Now, are they kings? That's up for debate. It's up to you. We can call them through the three kings or three wise men, but that's what they are. They're the magi, and they're very well educated. What's very interesting about these three is, it's interesting, my son right now is just a few miles from a place called Kandahar. Kandahar is named after Caspar because his name is translated Kandahar, and they named the city after him. It's believed that after they left Jesus, they all met St. Thomas, Thomas the disciple, doubting Thomas. And Thomas baptized all three of them. And they went and they spread the gospel to their region. How did they find Christ? That's the question. How did they find the blessing when everybody else missed it? Well, here's a little history lesson. I told you where they come from. Well, what does that mean? How did they find it? If these guys are living in these areas of other gods and false religions, how did they hear about Judaism? Well, go back to 586 BC or 755 BC. In 755 BC, the northern kingdom of Israel was conquered by a group called the Assyrians. You know them because a movie just came out recently called The 300. About these guys with Xerxes in Persia, and they went and they tried to conquer Sparta. What's interesting about that, they took prisoners into their community from Israel. And in 586, Babylon comes and conquers everybody, and the southern kingdom falls, and they take them into a place that you know as Baghdad, and Nebuchadnezzar and the Hanging Garden of Babylon. So historically, they're bringing all these Jews over. Guess who's there? There's a guy by the name of Isaiah. He's a prophet. He's in captivity. And you know what happens while he's in captivity in the 500s? While he's in Babylon, he's prophesying, and God gives him a scripture. And you've heard these scriptures. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with a child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Guess who's hearing this? All the people of Persia. All the people of Babylon. The soothsayers, the studiers, the scholars, the magi are passing this story to one another. And they're saying, is there really a Messiah that God himself will come to the earth? And there's another one. You know Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, which speaks about, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. These are the stories, and it talks about, oh, but you, O Bethlehem, although you are small, out of you will come a child, a Savior. And on these prophecies. Well, guess what these guys, these magi, are doing? They're writing these things down. They hear these very smart scholars known as Jews who are now their prisoners living among them, and they're sharing stories. And 500 and 700 years later, guess what they do? They come to the place, they go, the time has come. Let's go find this one who's been born King of the Jews. Now understand, when they say King of the Jews, when they come to these kings or these wealthy magi come to see Jesus, they bring him a wealth of gifts. Isn't that amazing? Watch this. What does King Herod do? He's trying to kill Jesus. What do these magi do? They're coming to worship him. Isn't it true that we can miss the blessing of God right under our feet, even though we're the people of God? Listen, sometimes the world finds more blessing in Christ than the church. Let's not be like that. Let's make sure that we find the heart of the spirit of Christmas present. Let's thank God for the things we have. Let's thank God for the wellspring of life that he's given us. Let's use what God has given us now and seize that and utilize that. Whether it's feeding the 5,000 with a fish and a loaf of bread. And honestly, that's what this church was 4 years ago. In my house with four or five other couples, it was a fish and a loaf of bread. And today, you are feeding the 5,000. The miracle still happens. Here it is, the blessing of the bike, blessing motorcycle riders and the heroes of our community. Here it is, teenagers doing a judgment house. And now we're sending people over to make clean water and build bunk beds for girls who are dying of AIDS in Africa. There it is, the wellspring of life. What are you doing? We've got singers coming out, concerts, just the joy of what God is doing. We want to take advantage of what God is doing. And I love this story because these three wise men, they come to that place and they go, you know what? We're coming to that place and we're bringing gifts to Jesus. What gifts do we have? Do you realize the gifts that God, what they brought Jesus, I believe represents what we have in Jesus. What were the three gifts? Well, the first one we know, one of them brought gold. Isn't that an amazing thing? They brought Christ gold. And that represents in our lives the blessing of God in our lives. Think about that. Now, is God going to bring you gold? Here's something that's probably not talked about a lot. If a king brings you gold, if A wise man or a magi brings and travels for a couple of years to find you, to bless you as the King of Kings. Do you think they're bringing you, I don't know, a couple 50-cent pieces? My grandfather used to always say, when I was a boy and I'd go do something on his farm, he'd go, "Oh, you did fine work there, boy. I've got 2 bits for you." "Oh, 2 bits, great." I didn't know until the first time. It's a quarter. I said, "Oh, thanks, Grandpa. A hard day's work for a quarter. Don't spend it all today." 2 bits. Do you think these guys came to bring Jesus 2 bits? They came, the one laid at his feet, gold. They gave him a king's treasure. Now think about this. The Son of God, Mary and Joseph, a simple carpenter and his wife, now have gold. What do they need gold for? Because they're about to escape to Egypt when God says, "Someone's trying to kill you. His name is Herod. Take the family, Joseph, and move to Egypt." Well, I don't know about you. If you're moving to Egypt, if God came to you today and says, "I need you guys to pack your bags. You're moving to France, to Paris." And you say, "I don't know if I have the money to move." Well, God will provide it. And he provides not only for them to live in Egypt in a foreign land, but for him to grow up there and all the money they need to live and survive there. Isn't that amazing? And here's what I think. God always supplies our needs according to his riches in glory. Amen? Now, that's not a health, wealth, and prosperity thing. That's just a simple fact that if God's calling you to something, he's going to provide the treasure to make it happen. God never calls us to something that he's not going to accomplish. Listen, I don't need a Lamborghini. I don't need a Ferrari. I don't need a mansion. I need a nice warm house, and I need something that's going to get me to church in the morning. I don't need a ton of brand new clothes off of the latest fashion styles. I just need something to keep me warm. And God has done that every day of my life. And then God calls me to something. Well, where's the money coming from? You know what? That's not even an issue with me. Because if God calls me to it, he's going to provide it. We have people that want to go to Africa. And I say one thing to them. If God's calling you to Africa, is God calling you? And if they say, "I don't know," I say, "Well, then that's not a trip for you." People come up to me and they say, "Well, I'd like to go to that Africa thing, but $3,000, Pastor, I just don't think." And I say, "You know what? You're not called to Africa." "Well, what do you mean I'm not called?" If God calls you to Africa, the money is not the thing you're talking about. It's the heart that pounds in your chest that you can't sleep at night thinking about how you're going to bring clean water to a group of 30 girls dying with AIDS, and you just want to love up on them in some remote place in the world, and people look at you sideways going, "Why are you doing that?" And you say, "Because God told me to." That's why. Why are you starting a church in a mall? Because God told me to. And when my district superintendent, formerly of 20 years in a ministry of a denomination and my whole life, looked at me, he says, "You're not going to do that. God didn't tell you to do it." I said, "God did tell me to." He says, "I'm going to take your credentials." I said, "You can have my credentials. 20 years of my life gone because God told me to do it. And nothing else matters." "Well, you're not going to have any funding. You're not going to have any backing. You're not going to have a denomination, and you don't have any people." I said, "You know what, honestly? Those things don't matter to me, because if God told me to do it, it could be me and my wife. I'm going to do it. We'll sit in the back of our car and I'll preach to her." I do that every Saturday anyway. And she goes, "Really? Do I have to hear it again? Now, do I have to come tomorrow to church because I've heard it 3 times? Can I tell you something? If God calls you to something, he's going to provide it. It is a miracle. From here to the end of this mall, all the buildings that have been donated, all the things that just show up, because God is in it. You see, when the Magi brought him, and they're not Jews, they're Magi, Zoroastrianism. When they bring them their gold, God says, "You need gold? I got gold. You need this?" Because God will supply all of my needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. See, God took care of the Christ child, and he wants you to know this morning, the spirit of Christmas wants you to know today, the spirit of Christ in us. He's going to supply all your needs, okay? Even when you're fleeing to Egypt and you have no idea, "Why is this happening to me?" My God will supply your needs, okay? The second thing that they had the gold, they had the frankincense, or as a child said in the practice of our play last week back in the children's room, Frankenstein. They supplied the frankincense. What? Frankincense is this representation in our life. Frankincense it's an interesting thing. It's what the priests offer up to God. They light the frankincense. It's a wonderful odor. And the Bible talks about bringing an aroma, a praise to God, lifting up an aroma that the priest in the Old Testament would say, I hope this is pleasing to the Lord and he'll find favor with me. Well, what that says is this, that Jesus received that gift, that he was pleasing to his Father. Now watch this. We now have a priest, Jesus Christ, who makes us, the Bible, Paul writes and says, you are now, Christ is now to you the aroma of life, but to others who are perishing, he's the aroma of death, that you now are the aroma of God. You are now to the world an aroma, and you are to God an aroma. God gave us a high priest in Christ Jesus who understands all of us. And that's what the incense means. It means today, what's my blessing? My blessing is this, that when that Magi gave Jesus that treasure of frankincense, he said, you are a priest and he is my high priest. He has forgiven me of my sins. You know what I have today? I have salvation in Christ Jesus. I have eternal life forever and ever. I have the blood of Christ that washes away my sins. I have the Savior, the high priest, who has gone into the heavens, who at this very hour, at this very moment, on this snowy Michigan day, is standing at the right hand of God the Father as my advocate, and he is speaking on my behalf at this very moment and saying, Father, this is Mitch. He loves you, and he is under my blood. He is your child. That is what's going on at this very moment in the spirit of Christmas present. Jesus is talking and naming you by name. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel pretty good. That's the gift that came to the Magi. And the last one was the strangest gift of all, myrrh. Myrrh is an embalming liquid. It's a strange gift. It can be used for anointing, but mostly it's used for embalming. When someone would pass away, they would pack the body so that it would preserve it longer for the funerals. And of course, you know, they didn't have the technology that we do today for funerals. And I thought, really? So if you said this Christmas, hey, what are you going to get your kids? Well, I bought my kid a casket. I got him a plot out at the cemetery. Here you go. Dad, you're morbid. That's this kind of gift. Mary and Joseph had to look and go, really, you're giving my son what? Can I tell you, it was one of the greatest gifts ever given. Because it represented that Christ would die and you wouldn't. Let me say that again. That Christ would die and you wouldn't. You see, when he became the first resurrection from the dead, he purchased your salvation. You know what? Physically, you're going to get sick. I don't know what's going to take you out of this world, but I can tell you this. It better be Christ, because the cancer can't take you out. In fact, I'm going to close this way. This is Jimmy V week. I don't know if you know who Jimmy V is. Jimmy Valvano, the Italian former basketball coach of NC State. He was a great guy, a passionate basketball coach, a great coach. He died, I think it was probably close to 12 years ago now, of cancer. He was fighting it. It was an amazing thing. They gave him in his battle, and coaches around the country, Mike Krzyzewski at Duke and North Carolina, Dean Smith and all these coaches, tremendous respect for Jimmy V. Jimmy V was fighting this cancer, and he said, you know what? One thing I want you to know. Cancer may take my body, but it will not take my soul, my heart, or my spirit. Those will live forever with God. And I thought, wow, he got up at the ESPN Awards. They gave him one of the highest honors ever given. It's called the Arthur Ashe Award. The Arthur Ashe Award is given for a lifetime achievement to a hero in sports. And as he got up to give the speech, I love it. He gets up there and he says, I want to say a few things. And just with passion in his voice and with almost tears in his eyes, Jimmy V began to speak and he began to say, you know what? This cancer's not going to beat me. Help me raise funds. Let's get the Jimmy V Foundation. And Michigan State just played this last week in the Jimmy V Foundation tournament. And that's how I know, because being a big fan, I'm watching this. They've raised over $100 million in the Jimmy V Foundation for Cancer Research. And they said, we have a long way to go. Well, Jimmy, before he passed away that next year, he goes, I just hope to be back next year. He didn't make it. He's up there talking. And as he's up there talking, he says, I've got a few more things I want to say. And he says, all of a sudden he stops at the podium, at the lectern, and this huge audience of black ties and gowns of folks. He looks and he says, that guy right there, the light's blinking, and he's telling me I got 30 seconds. And in his Italian way, he says, you think I care about a guy standing there telling me I got 30 seconds? I got tumors all through my body. Like I care about 30 seconds. I'm going to keep talking. And he says, I do three things every day in my life. He says, I want to tell you, you need to live in the present. And I thought, oh, this is the ghost of Christmas present. And I'm listening on the edge of my seat to this as I'm looking at this rerun as they were playing it this week at the foundation tournament. And he says, three things I do every day. He says, I encourage you, every human being ought to do these three things every day. You ought to laugh. Number one, every human being needs to laugh. I thought, good for you. So I thought of telling a joke. I don't have one. Laughing is good. The Bible says, laughter does to the body as good medicine. I thought, good for you, Jimmy V. He said, the second thing I like to do is I like to think. We all need to meditate. We all need to take time and just stop and think every day. I thought, good for you, Jimmy V. He says, the third thing, we ought to be moved every day in our lives so emotional that it brings us to a place of tears. He said something ought to happen, joyous or sad. We ought to be moved emotionally every day to the point of tears. I said, good for you, Jimmy V. I agree 100%. It's a reminder of what we have. Salt underneath my feet. Christ in my manger. It's a reminder of what I have. And that's what I was trying to tell my son. When he texted me and he said, good night, never, never land. And I texted back, never, never land makes you forget. Don't forget. We love you. Even though he's 10,000 miles away, I wanted to know. And when I thought about that, it made me smile. It made me laugh when he typed on there. You can imagine a guy with an M4 machine gun guarding some of the most dangerous terrorists in the world, by the way. And I can't say any more than that other than what he's told me he shouldn't have told me. But what he does. And it made me laugh thinking, this big tough guy typed on, good night, Never Never Land. I laughed when I got that text on my phone and I had to text back. It made me think. How blessed I am. And it moves me to tears. And this morning, I want us to have that heart, especially this Christmas season, as we think about the blessings we have and the reunion that's ours in Christ. I have a video clip that talks about reunions that might tweak your heart to smile. It'll make you think, and maybe it'll move you emotionally. Take a look at this.